it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Welcome into Outkick the Show. I'm your fearless leader, Clay Travis. I hope all of you are having fantastic Tuesdays, wherever you may be across this great country or indeed around the world. We got a lot to dive into. Crazy college protests. I'm going to give maybe the best, biggest, most substantial endorsement of the University of Florida in my life, which is saying a lot as a Tennessee fan. We got a contempt citation in the New York City case. LeBron done again, as Nikola Jokic owns him, as does Jamal Murray. NBA rights fees report from the Wall Street Journal, why I think it's crazy. Also, Tiger, Schwarzenegger, Rahm Emanuel all named in detail in the National Enquirer owner Pecker's testimony at the Trump trial. We will discuss all of that and more, including George Washington University, my alma mater, the craziness that is going on there, as well as what's going on at Columbia University. But in the meantime, get in on the playoff action. Win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks as you and the world's best players take the game to a new level during basketball, hockey, Major League Baseball season, all of them underway. There's lots of games going on every single night. Last night, I stayed up late to watch LeBron lose to the Nuggets and to watch, unfortunately, my Atlanta Braves give up a walk-off home run in the bottom of the ninth to the Seattle Mariners, who had not scored a run to that point and indeed went into the eighth inning without a single hit. So, I know a lot of you are watching games as well. Plus, there's injury insurance. So, if your entries stay in play, even if one of your players gets injured, and that can make a huge difference for you. But I want all of you to get signed up. All you need to do is go to prizepicks.com, use code OUTKICK. You get up to $100 even deposit. That is, if you put $100 in, they'll match it up to $100. Quick withdrawals, easy game day, enormous selection, player stat types, all of that help makes Prize Picks the number one fantasy sports app. Right now, again, download that app. Use the code OUTKICK, $100 match. That's code OUTKICK at prizepicks.com. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. Must be present in certain states and Canadian provinces. Void where prohibited. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details. University of Florida. Go Gators, I'm going to say right off of the top. I don't know how many of you saw this, but when Ben Sasse left Nebraska to take over as the new head of the University of Florida, I thought it was crazy. I thought to myself, what in the world is he thinking? He's a United States senator. Why would he decide to leave and go be the president of the University of Florida? I thought, wrongly, that a senator would have more impact than a president of the United, than a president of a university would. And I want to scroll down here and make sure that I get the statement that the University of Florida released. They arrested people for violating the University of Florida's prohibitions on campus. And they released this official statement, which I think is so well said. They arrested protesters, and they said this was the University of Florida's official statement. This is not complicated. The University of Florida is not a daycare, and we do not treat protesters like children. They knew the rules, they broke the rules, and they'll face the consequences. For many days, we have patiently told protesters, many of whom are outside agitators, that they were able to exercise their right to free speech and free assembly. And we also told them clearly prohibited activities would result in a trespassing order from the University Police Department, barring them from all university properties for 3 years. and an interim suspension from the university. For days, UPD patiently and consistently reiterated the rules. Today, individuals who refused to comply were arrested after UPD gave multiple warnings and multiple opportunities to comply. Bravo. This is why you are not seeing, by and large, universities in red states having their campus facilities, their campus grounds taken over by left-wing anti-Israel protesters. You are just not seeing it, because they will not stand for it in red states, whether it's Brian Kemp in Georgia, Ron DeSantis in Florida, Greg Abbott down in Texas, other red state governors as well. They are standing up against these protests. And I thought Florida's statement said it well. You have the right to protest. I've read you their statement before that they had continued to reiterate. You don't have the right to take campus buildings over. You don't have the right to take campus grounds over. Columbia, they've stormed a building at my alma mater, George Washington University. They have written all sorts of awful things on the statue there at the center of campus. GW is 28% Jewish. When I see things like this happening, UCLA, they wrote genocidal. I'm looking at the picture right now, this video, warmongering on the George Washington Central Campus Quad. They put him in a pro-Palestine flag. These people have lost their minds. And we're really at a place now where good and evil is at stake. I really do believe this. I don't believe it's an exaggeration. I saw Dave Rubin, and I want to get his quote right here, who does a great show on YouTube and other places. Imagine, and there's this video, which I hope a lot of you saw, of a Jewish kid at UCLA, a student, trying to go to class and being blocked by many different anti-Israel, pro-Palestine protesters at UCLA, in LA, heart of the city. And I shared that video, and Dave Rubin responded by saying, and I think this is so well said, imagine if a black kid was being denied entry to UCLA by white students. We'd all know his name. The NBA season would be canceled. Cities would be burning. And Dementia Man would have sent in the National Guard. He's 100% right. What we have to have, and I give credit to the University of Florida and other campuses, University of Texas trying to do the same. By the way, University of Texas arrested a bunch of people, said nearly 60%, according to the media report, were not actual students. They were just outside agitators. I have argued for my entire media career. Frankly, my media career started, for those of you who are old men like me now, the very first thing I ever had published under my name was a letter to the editor of the George Washington University Hatchet, written in 1997, defending freedom of speech. So for those of you out there that are like, Clay Travis has changed. By the way, I was a Democrat in 1997. That used to be a left-wing idea in some ways, was free speech. Expand the marketplace of ideas. Let's all debate issues that we agree or disagree with. Truth. Now it's a far right idea that you should have freedom of speech, that you should have access to anywhere on campus, no matter what your religion, your race, your ethnic creed might be. We really have ended up in a very strange place. And that's why we need to have content neutral policies. Allow anyone to argue in favor or against anything that they want to, but by and large, do not allow there to be different treatments of speech based on what the speech is. Now, I disagree with anybody who thinks that somehow anyone in Gaza is a victim, but I think they should be able to argue that. I do not think they should be able to seize campus buildings. I do not think you should be able to camp on the quad. If you are violating university regulations as it pertains to content-neutral policies applied to speech, then you should not be allowed to stay there. And let me just hit you with this. I'm a GW grad. If GW's campus was taken over by Trump supporters right now, who were all arguing that Trump was being unfairly treated, and many of those people, only a small pinprick potentially, were actually college kids, and otherwise it was professional MAGA agitators, they would have cleared out the campus in the space of a couple of hours. They may not have even allowed them to ever set up tents at all. The same thing is true of Columbia and NYU and UCLA and USC. What's being protected is the speech, because many people on those campuses agree with the speech, not the speech itself. It's a big deal. It's why you go back and you read my arguments. Hell, read my last book. I think it's also in this book. The people who say that Colin Kaepernick is a hero would have never defended Colin Kaepernick if he had taken a knee during the national anthem because he thought gay marriage shouldn't be legal. In fact, they would have demanded that he be fired and no longer able to represent the San Francisco 49ers. That's why the story here is content-neutral policies applied evenly no matter what the speech is. That's why I think the University of Florida has done such a good job, the University of Georgia, Vanderbilt University, many University of Texas, SEC schools have done a fabulous job to the extent there have been any protests that are allowed there at all. Okay, much less serious. LeBron and the Lakers lost last night. Last second shot by Jamal Murray again to win this series 4-1, send LeBron James into the postseason with a 1-12 record, I believe I'm correct on this, in his last 13 games against Jokic, Murray, and the Nuggets. LeBron 1-12, I believe, lost 12 of the last 13 against the Nuggets. LeBron, I watched last night, full disclosure. I stayed up, as I said off the top of the show, because I enjoy watching LeBron James lose. I find him to be a thoroughly unlikable individual despite his basketball talents. I think he's a perfect example of someone led totally astray by what people say on social media.
What's up, everyone? It's Nick Wright, and I got something exciting to talk to you about today. Angi, your ultimate destination for getting all your jobs done well. Now, Angi isn't just your average home services marketplace. It's a game changer with over 150 million homeowners served and a network of over 200,000 skilled pros. Angi has experience and expertise to tackle any project with ease. Whether you're looking to spruce up your backyard or undergo a major home renovation, Angi's got your back, and their pros are locally based, often running small businesses right in your community. And here's the best part. Angi makes the process seamless, from researching and comparing pros to scheduling services at your convenience. Angi's user-friendly platform puts you in control. So why settle for anything less than perfection when it comes to your home? With Angi, you can trust every project will be completed with the utmost care and professionalism. So get started at Angi.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today to discover why homeowners across the nation are turning to Angi to get all their jobs done well.
But the reason why I bring this up is LeBron's 39 years old. He'll turn 40 next year. I think what he's going to do is hold the team hostage, make them draft his son, even though his son would never be otherwise draftable, give him a multi-year contract so the end of his career can be playing alongside of his son. I think that's where we're headed, to a level of basketball nepotism on the court that has never been seen before. And if you criticize it at all, people will get fired up at you. But the idea of sports is the best man or the best woman wins. You shouldn't be able to get a job because your dad happens to be really good at basketball. Just like you shouldn't be able to get a job, I mean, especially on the court or on the field in football or baseball. This is frankly unheard of. I don't know that we've ever seen this before in terms of someone who would not be drafted being drafted entirely because of who their dad is and his individual talent. But there's also a viral video. We could probably put this in when we share this clip of LeBron James getting called a crybaby because he's complaining about the officiating on the court in Denver. And a woman who is sitting courtside kind of does a crybaby gesture. And LeBron threatens her by like kind of lunging at her. And then she like reacts and steps back, like kind of leans back like she's expecting something to happen. And then LeBron later jokes about it. And I shared this video, and so many of you reacted to it because I wasn't sure. I'm going to be honest with you. I have a lot of takes. I watched the video and I was of two minds about it. On the one hand, I thought it was kind of funny. Second part, though, threatening a woman is not very funny because it's not a surprise that the woman would be scared. You're a grown man and you threaten a woman, even if you like pretend like you're going to lunge at her, and she reacts and you laugh at her, why is it a surprise that she would react? Wouldn't we expect that? If he had done it to a guy, I would think it's funnier. But threatening a woman because you don't like something that she said and then making a joke about it, it's kind of funny, but it makes me a little bit uncomfortable. But because if you're a man and you threaten to react to a woman, the woman should react. So why would we think that it's funny that she reacted? I just find LeBron thoroughly unlikable, frankly. And I'm glad that the Nuggets beat him. I'm glad that they're 12-1, I believe, against LeBron in the last 13. I'm glad that they are 8-1 in the last 9 playoff games that they have played against LeBron. And I'm ready, frankly, for LeBron to retire. I don't think he will. LeBron is never just going to ride off into the sunset without letting you know years in advance that he's going to do it. He's not going to pull a Nick Saban. He's going to do a farewell tour. He will milk it for everything it's worth. That's just the way LeBron is. And I think it's probably going to make me dislike LeBron even more. NBA report may have changed. Yesterday I saw in the Wall Street Journal, and it is a messy time for many different media companies out there. Paramount, if you are following this, is one of the craziest roller coasters I've ever seen. Paramount owns CBS, Showtime, Comedy Central, Nickelodeon, BET, VH1, MTV, among others. Lots of channels, including the Paramount Studio, which made, for instance, the Maverick movie, Top Gun. They make a lot of top movies out there. Paramount is basically collapsed in many ways as a business because they started Paramount Plus. They haven't been able to monetize it. They've lost billions of dollars in the process. The cable and satellite bundle is collapsing. All those cable channels are worth far less today than they were years ago. And now Sherry Redstone, who's in control of Paramount, is doing whatever she can to try to sell the company. And there don't seem to be a ton of bidders out there. And so this is a part of the story here of the NBA rights fees. I saw this and I couldn't believe it. Wall Street Journal reported that NBC is potentially trying to take away Turner, their ability to have half the NBA, and that Disney is willing to pay through ESPN over $1 billion more dollars for a product that, frankly, nobody is watching on a large scale. The ratings for the NBA playoffs are down again this year, and they're going to pay more money for them. Now, partly this is a function of inflation and Joe Biden's disastrous economy, but we're talking about, I think, what is likely to be the most overpaid rights fee that has ever been garnered, if the report is true. It's also going to destroy ESPN's profitability. because just with what they're having to pay in the college football playoff and with what they're having to pay now with the potential NBA extension, the entire profit for ESPN is going to vanish overnight. It's pretty crazy to think about. So even based on the books and the numbers that they are sharing right now, what they would have to pay yearly for the NBA, what they would have to pay for college football, and the continuing decline of the cable and satellite bundle is going to basically turn ESPN from a profitable business into a break-even business. You're basically seeing the cable and satellite bundle collapse and still a panic setting in over what happens if you don't have the assets there. So you're seeing like NBC and Warner Brothers fighting over who's going to be the last business standing. I don't think the math works for Warner Brothers to continue to carry the NBA. I don't think the math works based on the numbers that are being talked about for ESPN. Amazon's a little bit different because they make so much money and they're so huge that they probably are just going to write off whatever they end up paying for ESPN like they do. Sorry, maybe they'll buy ESPN. Whatever they pay for the NBA like they do already in the Thursday Night Football realm. That is, they have Amazon Prime and they can kind of do accounting moves that make it look like they're making money. And honestly, they make so much money off everything now, particularly cloud computing at Amazon, that they can lose $1 billion on sports rights and it doesn't really matter. It's almost advertising for them. And I still think they're going to buy a sports gambling company. I really do. And then integrate all the sports gambling and all the Amazon Prime advertisements inside of their sports properties. So I can see how this makes sense to the Amazons of the world. I don't see how it makes sense to Warner Brothers, ESPN, or NBC. I really don't. So that is where we are based on these reports. Trump, from a battleground poll this morning that was released, Trump is up in all seven of the battleground states, according to, I believe it's the Hill Harris. I'm going to pull this up and make sure I get all this right, scrolling down so that I can read all this. Early this morning, driving my two oldest to school, Emerson and the Hill comes out with battleground state data. In Arizona, Trump's up 4. This is head-to-head. In Georgia, Trump is up 3. In Wisconsin, Trump is up 2. In Pennsylvania, Trump's up 2. In North Carolina, Trump is up 5. And in Nevada, Trump is up 1. He leads in all 7 of the battleground states. Emerson College polling and The Hill, 2024 battleground, 6 months out. Why is this happening? Why is Trump up in all the battleground states? Remember, he doesn't have to win all of them. In fact, if he wins Arizona and Georgia, which I think Trump will, he only needs to win one of the Midwest states, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, or Michigan. There's also other pathways. He could win Nevada. We'll see whether they're... Remember, Trump only won one of these 7 states in 2020. It was North Carolina. So what exactly is going on? The lawfare is helping him. This morning, Judge Merchant said, hey, he's been contempt of court. I'm going to fine him $1,000 for every one of these incidents. But we're already now in the 3rd week of the Trump trial. And this $9,000 fine basically is nothing to Trump. In fact, it is a pinprick of his overall value. And I mean, it's like getting a $5 parking ticket. And Merchant said, well, I might have to put him in prison for contempt, put him in jail for contempt, because that might be the only thing that would change his behavior. I actually think that helps Trump even more. Democrats have potentially scored the most devastating own goal ever by trying to put Trump in prison. I think they've destroyed their democracy argument. Because many of you reasonably hear this and you say, wait a minute, if democracy's at so at stake, how can you argue that you are defending democracy when you're trying to put your chief political rival in prison for the rest of his life? I think that's a very valid question. I think that makes a ton of sense. And even so much of the testimony, the David Pecker, the owner of the National Enquirer, actually testified that what he was doing wasn't that unique. He had protected other famous men in the past, including Tiger Woods, Arnold Schwarzenegger, and Chicago mayor at the time, former top Obama campaign advisor, Rahm Emanuel. I think he was the chief of staff of Barack Obama in the White House. And for instance, with Tiger Woods, they testified, Pecker did, under oath, that they caught Tiger Woods having an affair, had photos of it, approached him, and they made a trade where Tiger agreed to do a cover story for Men's Health magazine, and in exchange, they would not write the negative story about Tiger Woods cheating on his wife. And Arnold Schwarzenegger, similarly, they knew all sorts of things about Schwarzenegger in his past, and they protected him while he was running for governor and serving as governor of California. All of this, super fascinating in some respects, but it points out how Trump wasn't even that unique. He was just a famous guy. In fact, in Style, I'm reading it today, interviewed Stormy Daniels about sleeping with Trump all the way back in 2011, and then decided he wasn't famous enough for them to even run that story. All of this, I think, is conspiring to elevate Trump and drag down Biden. People now have more positive memories of Trump pre-COVID. February 2020, lowest Black, Hispanic, and Asian and white unemployment rate of all time. 2.5-3% mortgage rates, 2% inflation. People remember very fondly that era. Wall Street Journal, they had a good story. They said in March of 2021, if you had a dollar, that dollar is now today worth 85 cents. The overall value of every dollar that you have in your possession, in your wallet, in your overall financial picture has been degraded by the collapse of the economy under Joe Biden, by the fact that we printed way too much cash and we led to massive inflation. Think about that. $1 in 2021 is worth 85 cents today. The cost of goods has skyrocketed. It's not your faulty memory that everything you're buying cost way more than it used to. Bidenomics is a complete disaster. Finally, fun story. Dave & Buster's is going to allow pop-a-shot gambling and skee-ball gambling. Now, I got a Dave & Buster's story for you. I take my kids to Dave & Buster's quite a bit, particularly the Panama City, Florida Dave & Buster's. In fact, when Ron DeSantis opened up restaurants in Florida, they were able to open back up Dave & Buster's. We went to the Dave & Buster's in Panama City, Florida with my kids. They loved it. They ran around playing games. We were the only people almost in the whole place. This is either the very end of April, maybe the very beginning of May. It might have been the very beginning of May. I don't remember the exact date. Almost no one there. My kids are ecstatic. They're running around like crazy. They're playing every game that they can. The whole place is almost empty. Even in Florida, Panama City, I think it was early May, late April, whatever the date exactly was when Florida opened everything back up. We go to Dave & Buster's a lot. My kids love playing games. I like Dave & Buster's. Indeed, the first time that I knew I was starting to get a little bit old was if I lean over and play too many games of skee-ball in a row, my back tightens up. That's really the only sign that I've had so far at 45 where I'm like, I can tell I'm getting older. I lean over to play skee-ball, and my back tightens up pretty well. So I love skee-ball, and humbly, I'm very good at it. Papa Shot. Also love Papa Shot, like playing against my boys. If you are 18 or older in Dave and Buster's now, they are going to allow you to gamble on who's going to win Papa Shot and who's going to win Skee Ball. So you are going to have ringers potentially hanging out at the Papa Shot and at the Skee Ball. You're going to have people going head-to-head against each other. I think it's really funny and a bit ridiculous that this would even be occurring. I'm very pro Dave and Buster's, but I think it speaks to the gamification of America, where basically gambling is going to be taking place everywhere. As soon as sports gambling got legalized, I knew this was going to happen. To me, it's just kind of a next step. If you go to Dave and Buster's now, they'll allow you to download a gambling app that they advertise on the television there, and then they take a share of the revenue that they get, either for customer acquisition or, I don't even know, do they get to share in the overall revenue that's produced? I don't know how that deal works. It's going to happen everywhere related to sports at all. I love Dave and Buster's, but it's amazing that this has become a thing. I love all of you. DBAP, unless you need to SBAP, I will see you tomorrow. I hope all of you have fabulous Tuesdays.